Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to talk about one of our favorite topics today.
Yes.
Two
of our favorite topics.
It's food.
And memory.
And memory. Mm-hmm. And it seems like almost every week there is another article coming out about the relationship with your diet and some aspect of our health.
Right.
Especially our mental health.
Mental health, right.
There was an article published last week, mm-hmm. And so we're able to talk about it today. That was written by Kim Severson. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you pronounce her name. It's in the New York Times. And the title of the article is Her Memory Fading, Paul Wolford, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Fights Back with Food.
That's right. This would be before your time.
What is?
Doc Severson.
Okay.
So that's probably Severson.
Severson? What did I say? Severson?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't remember Doc Severson.
No.
Okay.
Was he a doctor?
No, he was a band leader for The Tonight Show.
Oh.
With Johnny Carson.
No, well, yeah.
It was probably before you were born. Oh, yeah. Yes, well before you were born. Okay. So you wouldn't recognize that name because that was... So you're excused.
I'm okay?
You're okay.
Thank you.
And this is Paula Wolford.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Who is a chef and a cookbook author.
Right. A lot of cookbooks.
Nine. I was really surprised. She's written nine cookbooks, that's a feat. I mean, that's a Herculean task to write nine cookbooks.
Yeah.
Interesting woman.
Yeah.
Did you see her background?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Morocco?
It's fascinating.
Wow. Talk about resilience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but what we're going to talk about with this article is some really interesting connections between diet and dementia, especially Alzheimer's type.
That's right. And what I like about this article, you know, we read all this, as you say, almost every week, there are a couple of articles about the relationship between what we eat and cognitive functions, memory functions. And this is written by a woman who knows food.
Right.
I mean, and that's what I liked about this, because this woman speaks with authority because she really understands food.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell the story.
Yeah. So she has, again, written multiple cookbooks. One of the cookbooks she wrote about omelets.
Omelets.
It's like a whole
cookbook about omelets.
You know, you throw some stuff in there and then you fold it over and then you eat it.
It's an omelet is eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. And you fold it.
Eggs and peanut butter.
No. No, you've never done that.
You don't put peanut butter on it?
Have you ever done that? I walked into your office the other day and you were having something, but you had put peanut butter in it.
Oatmeal. It was oatmeal and peanut butter.
That'll stick to your ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And I could smell peanut butter and I thought, whatever you're eating, and you put peanut butter in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether it was oatmeal, eggs, but you never put peanut butter in eggs.
I will
say no. Say you never have.
Do we say no?
I want you to say.
I'll say no.
I would never.
Because you asked me to.
I would never. But you may have. It remains an open question. Anyway, this woman has written one of her cookbooks is just about omelets.
Yeah.
Now there's a point to saying that.
Right.
Which is,
she found herself one day going in to make breakfast.
One day recently.
Right. And she could not remember how to make an omelet.
She had to ask her husband. Now, this is a woman who's written a whole cookbook on omelets, so she knows a little bit about omelets. Her husband is a mystery novelist. He's a novelist. He's a writer. And she had to ask him how to make the omelet.
Right. So it clear sign that she is struggling with her memory, and this is not an uncommon feature often seen in Alzheimer's type of dementia.
That's right. The fact that she had come to this, I think it was the omelet that was her tipping point.
Right.
Because she had had what we all refer to as senior moments.
Right.
Everybody had noticed that she had, she noticed it, her mm-hmm. husband noticed mm-hmm. it, her friends noticed it. But it was the omelet, I think, that was right. her tipping point. Yeah. She finally said, this is, there's something mm-hmm. seriously awry here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about this article is it touches on something that I actually heard in a lecture a number of years ago. I went to a lecture on memory, mm-hmm. and it was the author, or the, not the author, he was the presenter, mm-hmm. was a neuroscientist, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the relationship between diet and memory a little bit, and it wasn't the primary focus of the lecture, but it became one of the primary foci. Okay.
Was that a Grand Rounds? Was he?
No, it was a workshop through a CEU workshop through some company.
So that wasn't his main topic.
No,
he just happened to mention it in passing.
He started talking about it, and then I think that the interest from the author, from the audience, he kept talking more and more about it. It was clearly something that he was interested in, and so he kept talking more and more about it. And one of the things that he talked about is this idea that many researchers, many clinicians are referring to Alzheimer's type of dementia as type 3 diabetes. And so what they're saying is sort of where the theory goes, is that perhaps some of the challenges associated with the development of plaques and tangles and you know, the, all of those issues in the brain that lead to what we call Alzheimer's is a result of our high carbohydrate diets, and that if we manage some of that, because mm-hmm. you know, they're saying that there's too much sugar, and that because the brain, you know, is the primary consumer or one of the primary consumers of glucose and energy in the body, mm-hmm. that just the overwhelming nature of the body being fueled from these simple sugars is contributing to these issues.
So it could be that when a person is younger, and our cells use glucose and oxygen. Mm-hmm. Brain cells use glucose and oxygen. So when you're younger and you're burning up all that glucose, mm-hmm. Your brain can handle the amount that it gets.
Right.
As you get older and mm-hmm. your metabolism slows,
right.
if your diet doesn't change, is he suggesting there's an overload of glucose?
Yeah, they're saying that because the probability of developing Alzheimer's significantly increases if you have diabetes.
And so there is a known connection.
There is a known connection
between type 2 diabetes,
right,
and
Alzheimer's. And so they're referring to it as this. And then he went on to talk about, and this is where it comes back to this article, where there were individuals who then he knows of other neuroscientists whose spouses or relatives were suffering from sort of the early onsets of mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. And so they changed their diet almost to a ketogenic type mm-hmm. of diet, where they're really taking away most carbohydrates.
So a ketogenic diet, for listeners who don't know, it's a very low intake of carbohydrates.
Right.
Normal carbohydrates is somewhere between 180 and 250 grams. Mm-hmm. per day. Mm-hmm. So you drastically reduce your carbohydrate intake
down to 25 to
into the double digits.
Right.
Okay. Which is a significant amount. Right. I mean,
absolutely.
But carbohydrates are, foods are loaded with carbohydrates.
Right. I mean,
if you start reading packages. Mm-hmm. And you increase your fat intake, mm-hmm. right? Or you burn up your fat.
Well, right. Your primary caloric intake is derived then from healthy fats and
right.
more, to some extent, protein. Not overload of protein that like some diets tend to do, but mm-hmm. certainly more healthy fats. And so then your body begins to function off of the ketones derived from the healthy fats.
Right.
And you know, certainly, you know, if you're diabetic, you have to be pretty cautious of this. You need to talk to your physician, because you don't want to go into ketoacidosis or anything like that, because that creates other problems, of course. But what they did was, when these individuals who were suffering from the early stages of Alzheimer's, when they went on the ketogenic diet, mm-hmm. they began to see a stalling, if not somewhat of an improvement in overall cognitive functioning.
In mental functioning, right.
And this is, goes back to the article.
Right, and that's what she did, is that when she became aware, so she still had awareness that there were changes occurring, she turned to a dietary solution to the problem and took the known literature on what foods she should eliminate, which ones she should add, and also what spices, because these spices, they're like magic elixirs, what spices she should increase. So what is she eating?
So she changed her diet to this other format, basically. Right. And so she's eating much more salmon, berries, greens, talking about seasonings and things like that, lots of turmeric, cinnamon, and eggplants, and some of those foods that are rich in healthy nutrients as well as healthy fats.
And also dark chocolate.
And dark chocolate,
which has been recommended. Mm-hmm. By dark, it's over 70%.
Over 70% cocoa.
And what just a shorthand note here, notice that all these foods are dark.
Right.
In color. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's what is being recommended. Mm-hmm. You know, the darker the better. So spinach, kale, not iceberg. That's light green, mostly water. So very dark colored foods, dark chocolate, dark chocolate, wild salmon, not farm raised.
You gotta be careful with farm salmon.
But berries, dark in color, dark vegetables, and these spices, turmeric, that bright, deep, a golden color that it has, in cinnamon. Talk about the coffee that she drinks.
She drinks this stuff called bulletproof coffee. Right. And we've tried that before. And it's actually...
gross.
It's actually, I liked it. You didn't like it?
No, at first it's disgusting. The thought.
Really?
The thought. Because I made it at home with butter.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to put like...
Yeah, so here's what you do. Here's what you do.
At first it's disgusting, but you have to try it.
Yeah, so while you're making your coffee, you boil some water. And so then you take the boiled water and you put it in your blender so that it warms your blender up so you don't cool everything off. So you warm your blender up with
treat it like a thermos, you know, if you're putting hot liquid in the thermos, you heat up the thermos first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you warm up the blender, and then when your coffee's ready, you put your coffee in, and then you add some butter.
Not some butter. How much butter do you add? Two tablespoons.
2 tablespoons.
You put 2 tablespoons of butter in your coffee.
And then maybe a little bit of like coconut oil.
What's a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Couple tables.
And then you blend it. And it makes it frothy. It makes it creamy.
Slimy?
Mine wasn't slimy. What did you add to yours?
Butter.
I don't know. You have to add good butter, though.
I did. Okay. It was grass-fed.
Was it?
Yeah.
But so it makes it frothy, and it makes it creamy. And I actually found it very good, because I typically drink black coffee.
Right.
And so the additional, and in fact, because of that, I started adding, because I just don't do the whole blender thing and everything.
You just stir yours here.
So I just add, I don't add butter anymore. I just add a little bit of the coconut oil.
Well, the reason it's, I think there's a cautionary note.
It's the healthy fats that you're getting.
First of all, they're healthy fats, coconut oil or this real good butter. You wouldn't want to put Crisco in there.
Right.
You know, okay. No. Or vegetable oil. But you would want to reduce your carbohydrates before you do this.
Right.
Okay. Because you need that good fat if you're reducing your carbohydrates.
Right.
Okay. So that the two go together. Right. You wouldn't want to maintain the diet you're on right now and do your bulletproof coffee. Bulletproof coffee is part of this low carb diet.
Right. Because what the idea is, and what has happened to her, and what I found in personally, as I've done some of this, is that as your body starts to function more off of the healthy fats than from the sugar, you find that you don't eat as much. Now, your body is going to fuel off of the easiest stuff available. So if you're still eating lots of carbs, process very easily. So your body's just going to fuel off of that. And so what is it going to do with the fat? It's going to store it. And so that's going to be a bit of a problem. So you want to make sure that you're making that adjustment.
You know, I come from, it's partly genetic. Longevity runs in my family. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 92 years old and I look great. No, it runs in my family. But
I knew it.
I've said to people, my grandparents, everybody I knew lived into their 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. I never saw a walker. Mm-hmm. I never saw a wheelchair.
Right.
They had two-story houses. Mm-hmm. And to the end of their lives, they were walking up and down the steps every day to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And to take a bath and to go to bed.
Right.
Okay. There was something about the way they ate. Mm-hmm. They ate very small amounts of food. Mm-hmm. They ate frequently during the day. And I'm wondering now if you are over the age of, certainly over the age of 60, mm-hmm. but probably over the age of 50, mm-hmm. and you're beginning to slow down. You're running less, you're exercising less, you're working less. But I think particularly when you get into the retirement years, if you're concerned at all about your cognitive functions, mm-hmm. I would say do some research and really consider making these dietary changes, because as of all the stuff that I've heard you talk about and that I've read and reading these other articles, I can't imagine what a regular sized dessert on a regular basis does to the aging brain.
Right.
I mean, you're consuming enormous amounts of calories, mm-hmm. in the form of highly refined sugars and carbohydrates.
Right.
You have to be doing damage to something in your body.
Right.
Our bodies just can't metabolize that after a certain age.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And when you get down to the chemistry of it, it's fascinating, because when you're thinking about Alzheimer's, you know, we think about tangles, right?
Right.
We call them beta amyloid tangles.
Yeah, right.
And what that basically means is that there's these proteins that your brain, you know, uses, mm-hmm. and then after it uses the proteins get broken apart into pieces so that they can be reused. Well, what happens is they break off in the wrong place.
Right.
And when they break off in the wrong place, now it has two pieces that are not usable.
They don't know how to get back together.
Right. And so then they start clumping together.
That's right.
So that's how you get these plaques.
Right.
And
you wonder what's interfering with that process.
Right.
Right.
And one of the hypotheses, I suppose, is that because of the high sugar, carbohydrate diets, it's interfering with that typical process.
And I'm going to be very careful when I say this. I'll say it slowly. We live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We have a large percentage of elderly, mm-hmm. Americans, people over the retirement age, who eat out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat impressive amounts of food.
Right.
When they go to these buffets, you want to get your money's worth.
Right.
Okay, I understand that. But if you're over, as I say, if you're over the age of 60, you have to be extraordinarily careful,
mm-hmm.
about your caloric intake.
Right.
You know, you can't. My son works outside during the day. He can consume 2,500 calories and burn it off. But if you're sitting around playing cards and watching TV and you consume 2,500 calories, your body can't use it.
That's what's going to do with
Where's it going to go? What's it going to do? And then you add the kind of food that you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
You go into a typical restaurant and have a dessert.
Yeah.
You're not getting a sliver.
Yeah.
You're getting a slab of something.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be wreaking havoc with our body. You just can't consume that many calories in that form and expect it not to have a deleterious effect.
Right. Absolutely. So you know, if you, as you said, especially if you're over the age of 50 or 60, But even when you're younger, I mean, we start seeing some of those memories.
You see it in children.
Right.
The increased diabetes in young kids.
Yeah, yeah. So consider that. Read this column.
I would start with that article. It's a fascinating story. Mm-hmm. I also like this woman because she was left in Morocco.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She moved to Morocco, and she was her husband left her, and she had two young children.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I worried about it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, that's not doing any good. I better get on with my life." Yeah. I like the grit.
Right.
I like the resilience of this woman. Mm-hmm. So if you want to begin this journey, this would be an excellent article to read to begin your journey in this direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, definitely check it out and let us know if you have any questions. We'd love to talk with you about it and mm-hmm. help out however we can. But you know, certainly before you make any major changes, especially if you're on medication,
right.
talk to your physician to make sure yep. it's safe and
absolutely.
Okay.
So. Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.